Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. We're so happy to have you back. Today, our guest is Clara, who's back for another fun bookish conversation. So, Clara, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello again. I am Clara. I am a avid book reader, lover of books, aspiring writer, and trainer by day. But looking forward to talking about a couple books I read this summer. Didn't read as much as I wanted to, but read a couple of good ones and looking forward to some stuff that's coming out towards the end of the year.
I love it. Yeah, funny enough, I know I've been sharing on this podcast that I'm an avid reader and I read a lot, but this year my reading has decreased. So I think we're both in the same boat. Like we, you know, even though the numbers are different, we both have read less, but we're looking forward to reading more this at the end of the year.
Yes. Oh, and we're potentially joined by my cat, Snappy, who seems intent on providing feedback. I told her if she hasn't read a book, she can't participate, but she seems to be ignoring that.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm excited to hear Safi's take on your books that were read. So tell me, what books did you read this summer?
Yeah, so definitely read a few books. The two I kind of wanted to talk about today, they're from very different genres, but I enjoyed both of them quite a bit. I mean, I think they were good summer reads. So the first one is a historical fiction romance called Meet Me in Monaco by Hazel Gaynor and Heather Wells, I think is her last name. They wrote Last Christmas in Paris, which I didn't read, but some of our listeners may have. And I also read a book called The Last by Hannah Jameson. I think that book came out in January of this year. And it is more of an apocalyptic mystery / thriller. Mm-hmm. So two very different books, but both of them I found to be very engaging. Do you want me to get into...
Yeah, talk to us about Meet Me in Monaco first.
Okay, so Meet Me in Monaco is essentially the story of a perfumer. I think that's what you would call her. Someone who makes her living developing perfume, named Sophie, and then a journalist whose name is James, who goes by Jim, and it's set between the 50s through to the 80s, and it's set during most of the story is set during the backdrop of Princess Grace Kelly's ascent to becoming a princess and her wedding to Prince Rainier, I think is how you say his name, of Monaco. And so she is a character in the book, but it's really telling this love story between Sophie and James with her wedding as the backdrop. So it's a really good summer read. As you can imagine, it's set in Monaco in the south of France most of the time. Jim does go to the United States and to London and a couple of places, but most of the story centers around the south of France and Monaco. And so lots of beautiful imagery and setting, and it's, you know, Sophie develops perfume, so there's lots, as you know, I like to read descriptions of places and scents and things like that. So there's lots of descriptions of how she comes up with her ideas for different perfumes that she's inventing. So I loved all of that stuff. you know, I like movies with Grace Kelly in them. I'm not like a huge, like, diehard fan, but I do find it interesting to kind of look back at that time and what it was like. So I thought that was kind of cool to read in the story as well. I wish that there were more descriptions of the imagery and more descriptions of the perfumes that she was coming up with. There were plenty, but I really wanted even more. So that's one of the things I wish there was more of in the book. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're reading the book because you want to know about Grace Kelly, this book is not it. While she is a character in the book, she's not a really fleshed out character. I hate to say, she's not really a believable character in the book. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of one note and like, well, would this really happen? Would she really do these things? But again, she is kind of a backdrop for the story. So it's not a big deal, but there definitely, it's not a story where you're going to learn a ton about Grace Kelly from the book. You know, like I said, I struggled a little bit with some of the believability of things that happen in the book and how their Sophie and James love story unfolds, because to mirror the romance of Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier, they fall in love. He's from London. She's from the south of France. So they meet once through Grace Kelly. Mm-hmm. And they fall in love from there through letters to each other. But surprisingly, there weren't a lot of those letters in the story. So that was a little bit like not, you know, it was kind of like, how did they fall in love with such few letters of communication between the two of them? So there were just things that, you know, if you thought too hard about it, probably wouldn't work for you. But overall, if you just kind of let yourself enjoy the story, it's worth it. It's like I said, it's just a nice summer read. I think that Sophie sometimes was annoying and made decisions that were really frustrating. Mm-hmm. and then James, some of his behaviors just didn't feel authentic. Like, I don't know, like, would he really take some of the actions he took? But, I mean, it's not like a deal breaker for the book. Interestingly, the story is told, and I like this, the structure of the story is told in a cool way. So, of course, the story is told, first of all, from the point of view of Sophie, and then alternates the point of view of James. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, maybe expected. But they throw in this other reporter whose name is escaping me right now, this American female reporter, journalist, who reports on fashion. So James is actually a photographer, I should say. He's a journalist photographer. But there's this fashion reporter, and she intersects, like, just like these little things throughout the story of her reporting on Princess Grace and the wedding, and there's, like, where Sophie and Jim's story intersects, like there's like little comments or allusions to it. But she has a couple of conversations with Jim in the story. And just from a few conversations, like I want them to write a whole book just about that American journalist. Mm. Like she seems so interesting and like her approach and the advice that she gives Jim based on her being a woman journalist in the 1950s and how she's going after what she wants and stuff. It was funny that she had such a small role in the book, but I found her the most interesting part of the book. So I'd love it if they wanted to pull on that thread and write a follow-up.
Maybe.
The other thing, what'd you say?
Maybe they'll write a follow-up.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who noticed that. The other thing that I thought was cool about how they wrote the book is they put it into three parts, and each part represented a different note on the three notes that make up a perfume scent, right? Mm-hmm. So you have the head notes, the heart notes, and the bass notes. Mm-hmm. So the head notes are the first thing you smell. The heart notes are like the middle, like the strongest scent. And the bass notes are what's left after everything else has evaporated away. Mm-hmm. And because of that and the way that the story was told, I think that was a really fitting way to tell the story. And, you know, my cat totally disagrees. She's fighting with another cat. Okay. So I thought that was really good. Now, the book, it's a historical romance, and the romance, there is definitely some predictability there. Mm-hmm. In the story. So I have to say, once we got closer to the end, I kind of expected certain things to happen that happened. But at the same time, you won't be disappointed in reading it. You just wish you were a little more surprised, or maybe there was an additional twist. But I have to say, the base note, what remains after everything has gone, mm-hmm. without giving too much away of the story, is actually a really insightful way to close the story, everyone's story in this book, from Grace Kelly through to the main characters. Mm. So I actually like that quite a bit. Although, I mean, like I said, you kind of see the ending coming, but when you think about what their intention was with the base note concept, I think that was nicely done. So a lot of commentary I have on the book, but I mean, it's definitely a good read, and it's an easy read, right? You could finish mm-hmm. that book in a day or two. You could probably finish it in a day. Most people will finish it in like a couple days, a week. If you're at the beach, you can take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Meet Me in Monaco. And it definitely made me like, I went to go watch To Catch a Thief on, I think it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something, which Grace Kelly's in. And I was trying to look up that movie Nicole Kidman did, Grace of Monaco, I think. Mm. Used to be on Netflix, but it's not on there anymore. But it's like, oh, let me just immerse myself deeper into that world. So it definitely draws you into that place and time and experience.
Yep. I'll pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll send you my copy. I think you would like reading it in an afternoon, especially because you like historical romances.
Yeah, I think it sounds interesting. It sounds like, I like the timing, the setting of Grace Kelly, Monaco, and just kind of like the perfume aspect of it. It seems like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's a good book, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll send it to you. The other book I read, which I have a little shorter commentary, is called The Last, like I said, by Hannah Jameson. It appealed to me because, surprise, I really like apocalyptic things from The Walking Dead to Severance, I talked about on this podcast before. I don't know why I'm so drawn to that, but... So I don't know if people would think of it as a summer read, but it worked great for me. It too was a very fast read. It's not a short book, but you know, you kind of just want to keep reading and see what happens. So the main character in this story, his name is John, and he is away at a conference, I think an academic conference in Switzerland, up in the like mountains at a remote hotel. Hotel Le Sixième, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And there is a nuclear apocalypse across the world. And so it doesn't, like, that happens while he's at the hotel. And, you know, within a couple days, the sky starts turning orange and everything. So a lot of people ran out the first day, but there were about 20 or so people who stayed at the hotel, thinking it was the safest place to be. And so the story really revolves around John and how he navigates this end of the world scenario at this hotel up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of strangers. But it isn't really, while the apocalypse is the background for it, it's a mystery because One day while he and some people from the hotel are trying to fix something with the water towers, they climb up and they discover in one of the, there are three water towers, and in one of the water towers, they discover a little girl who is dead and floating in one of the water towers. And it's pretty clear that she died before the nuclear apocalypse. So John is a historian, and he clings to this mystery. How did this girl die? And even in the description, they say it's a way for him to cling to what's left of his humanity and who he used to be. I should mention, he is married and has kids and is separated from them. He left to come to this conference, and he didn't leave on great terms with his wife. So their last communication wasn't anything super, you know, positive that you would want your last communication to be with your loved one. So he's trying to use this mystery, solving this mystery, to get his mind off of that situation. And then, you know, so there's this thriller element of it, because, you know, first of all, you've got the apocalypse going on. How are they going to survive? They have limited resources. None of the people really know each other. You have this murdered little girl who was murdered before. So is the murderer among them? Is the murderer one of the 20 people who's left at the hotel? It's a very big hotel, and they say many times that no one checked the hotel and all the rooms to see if there was anyone else there besides the 20 people they knew, which seems a little odd to me. That was like a little weird in the book, but so there was always this sense of like, is there someone else in the hotel that they don't know about? So that's some of the thriller aspect. And then of course they eventually get to a place where they realize they're going to run out of resources. They need to go as a group to look for resources. And I don't want to give too much away, but there is a circumstance where one of the people in their group dies, or I think has to be killed. I think he maybe tried to assault one of the women or something. I can't quite remember. But at any rate, he's died. And they heard a noise and left his body and ran inside. So when they went back to go get the body, it was gone. And another member of their group who was scouting and got separated from them came back to the group and told them that there is another group of people, because there's no communication with the outside world. Another group of people, and they took the body. And so there's a lot of conversation that potentially those other people are cannibals.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a little like, that's when there was a little more tension. Although I have to say, at this point, we're only 2 months in to the nuclear apocalypse. And maybe this is me being naive, but I'm like, okay, in 2 months, we've already become cannibals. I'm not sure I believe that. but I don't know. So again, I mean, it's an apocalypse, blah, blah, blah. You have to suspend disbelief generally. And that's not really the story, which is why I'm not giving too much away by talking about that. But there are these moments of tension in the story, and there are these thriller aspects. I really didn't get nervous or like kind of like biting my fingernails until more of the end, towards the end of the book. Mm-hmm. Like I would say the middle end of the book is when I started to, like, I felt like, oh, every page I got to keep going, because I need to know what's happening. I need to understand what's happening, which I like. I like that in a mystery thriller book. But because I was trying to be multiple genres, you know, sometimes it was quite slow. There was a lot of contemplation of what happens now, and it's all from John's perspective. I would say John, I don't know if everyone will like John. He's not like, you know, of the characters to follow. He was, you know, it's not like he's such a great guy. He's not an awful guy, but he complains a lot. But that's kind of funny to watch the apocalypse through the eyes of a complainer. there's a lot to complain about. And it's not a funny book, by the way. It's funny, but probably not intentionally. What I did think was interesting, though, is there is a character in the book who is, so the whole nuclear incident happens, and they don't really explain why it happens, but there's a lot of conversation about, did you vote for him? Did you vote for him? You voted for this, for the nuclear war to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at this book, I don't know when it was written. I mean, I know when it was released. I assume there are many undertones of our current political environment mm-hmm. That are being referenced here. But there's this woman who, the way I read it, would be a very conservative, gun-loving woman. She basically took all of the ammunition and all the guns into her room the first night. And she's a very attractive young woman. Her name is Tommy. And I'm like, that cannot be a coincidence. If you know who, I think her name is Tommy Lahren or Lauren or whatever her name is. She's like a very young, outspoken, conservative person. And a lot of people don't like her. And that's, this character is written where most of the people don't like her. Mm-hmm. But she's an interesting character in the book. And so I don't know. I assume that they're supposed to be sort of insinuating the same character. Maybe not. I could be wrong. But there's that. There's an interesting element there because there's this conversation about, you know, who brought the end of the world on and stuff. And when you put that in our current situation, it feels a little realistic. Mm. So with, you know, Korea and everything. So. Mm-hmm. North Korea. But anyway, so it was interesting. I kept wanting to read it. It was a kind of cool mix of these genres. The only thing is, I would say the ending was really rushed and probably not as satisfying as you would like ultimately. Although the very, very ending gave me a bit of a chuckle and I liked it. But overall, you know, I think the ending could have been finessed a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But again, really good book, good, easy read in the summertime. And at least I found some times when it was amusing me. Again, I don't know if it was on purpose, but the way I was reading it amused me.
So. I love it.
And I don't know why, I just really like books that... So this book, I will say, it didn't really... explore how you survive the end of the world. Mm-hmm. It really more explored who will you be in a world where all the rules are taken away, which is, you know, I mean, I think if you look at the type of shows that I like to watch and stuff like The Walking Dead, I mean, yeah, there is a discussion of how you survive, but most of the time it's really about who you're going to be and how you're going to change because of the way the world has changed. So same thing with this book. That's really what it's about.
I love it. I love the fact that you recommend post-apocalyptic books. The first one. You also recommended Severance, which I do enjoy. So I love it.
I know. Now I'm like, where I want to read some more of them. I don't know why I'm obsessed with this, but
Have you read Station 11?
You know, I started Station 11 and I didn't finish it because it was an ebook. And you know how I am. I have to have it in my hand.
Okay.
But actually, this book, if you look at it and it, you know, like on Amazon, it recommends Station 11 is the first book it recommends. If you get this book, that's the first one that comes up in my thing.
There we go.
Did you like Station 11?
No, it's been mentioned quite a few times. People adore that book, but I haven't had the chance to pick it up. It's not like one of the genres that I'm like, oh, I must pick it up. But I know it's been mentioned quite a few in the book community as like a go-to book to read.
Yeah, I really should read it. Like I said, I'm just not the best at e-reading.
I know, we're opposites. I'm all about e-books and you're like, I need the physical book.
Exactly.
So, I love it.
So I talked a lot about my books, but what about yours? Tell me about what you're reading.
I've been reading historical romance. So before that, I read a contemporary romance or contemporary fiction. I think I would call it women's fiction, but it's No Judgments by Meg Cabot. It's her new series that's coming up later on this month. And she based on a true event. So Meg Cabot lives in Key West. And so she had to go through Hurricane Irma a few years ago, and she happened to have a landline. And so based on that experience, she wrote this book. So the setting is there's a major hurricane happening in the Keys, and Bree decided not to evacuate. And so she's like, I'm going to just fire out the storm. But she's not from the Keys. She's from New York. Her family's like, we'll give you a private jet, we'll come pick you up. And she's like, no, I'm powering the storm. And everyone's like, you shouldn't power the storm. Like, you're not ready. You're not prepared. So she powers up the storm. She ends up staying with her boss's family in a house that can actually hold the storm, because her house already, at the beginning of the storm, her house, like, there's a tree falling. She was locked out. So she was like, okay, I'm just going to power through. And then there's a woman, there's there. But the take on what was inspired by this book was that after the storm, all these people evacuated, they couldn't come back because the bridge wasn't working anymore. So it turns out that a lot of people evacuated without their pets. So thanks to having a landline, she discovered all these different houses that pets needed to be rescued or basically fed or taken care of. So she's like basically had, she has her mom in New York to post it on Facebook. Say, if you live in this key and you left your pet, just call us and we'll go take care of your pet. And that was actually based on true events, which is kind of fun. So then you get to see all these pets who were taken care of, you know, from parrots to guinea pigs to rabbits. So it was kind of like fun to see like a hurricane season. And it was telling, like, this week it's been going. So I'm like, oh, it just feels like, you know, hurricane season is all around. So I really enjoyed this book.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward, I like it. I'm looking forward to the next Monday series. I think it's about a librarian, so I'm curious to see how that's going to go. But I really like the setting of the Keys. I think that's actually a fun setting to have a book. Like, it feels like small town, but still beachy, with its own set of things that are, like, beachwear.
Yeah, well, you know, Meg Cabot, I think she still lives in the Keys.
Yeah, she still lives in the Keys. I think she was in New York this summer, but because I met her a couple of times this summer. She mentioned she still lives in the Keys. And I saw her on Instagram that she posted she was in the Keys waiting for the hurricane. So it's kind of like interesting. She mentioned that she just happened to have a landline near her house. And that's the reason. And there's no cell service after a hurricane. So a lot of people were coming to her house making phone calls. So that's how she eavesdropped on these one person's phone call that they were asking the pet. And that's how she got inspired to write this book.
Do you remember she went to NYU or she worked?
She worked at NYU.
Yeah.
I did. I told her because I met her a couple of times this summer. I met her at Book Expo and I was like, did you work at NYU? She's like, yes. And I was like, you were a story that was told when I worked at NYU. Because she left NYU to write books, right?
Yeah. Remember, there was a whole series of a residence hall director.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I think it's a series. Yeah, there's a series where she's a residence hall director, which was based on NYU. So.
Yeah, because she used to work the front desk of Weinstein Residence Hall, maybe? One of those halls.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Gotta love the fact that we both, and for our listeners, Claire and I, we met at NYU. We work at NYU. So it's kind of funny. It's a small town, a small world, where it's like all these people who work at NYU. And the NYU experience is a unique experience. I wouldn't say I think my experience at NYU, the way it was told, the way it was presented, it was like a million girls who want this job, and you just realize you're like double burst fry. You realize it's like, it's not that great job, but you somehow, all these people wanted this job. You're like, it's so shiny. So that was my experience at NYU. I am glad that I no longer work there, but I don't know about you. You went to school at NYU, so you had a different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a different experience, but I think one of the things that was cool, whatever school you went to in New York or where you worked in New York, just the opportunities to meet people like Meg Cabot or other authors, or, you know, like that was something that I hadn't experienced before. So like more the chance to see people really committed to their craft and their work and what they wanted to do was kind of what I enjoyed about my time living in New York the most. Not to make the podcast about that, but like, not so much whatever the school was or the place I was working, but like the people, and those people are everywhere. It's just that I think after I lived in New York, that's when I learned how to find and talk to people who were on paths that were in the world of art and stuff like that, which I just, it was harder to find when I grew up in South Florida. So
yeah, I think New York has its own energy. It's like, it's own unique place, and you know, somewhere soon I may move out of New York, and it's something I'm gonna miss, but it's like its own energy, its own connections. I get to connect with the New York community here.
Yeah. And then you can connect with them anywhere. But like, well, and especially today, please, folks, I'm older. So like, we didn't really have cell phones and social media when I was in my early 20s. But anyway, but go on about, I want to make sure we talk about your book.
So now let's go to Historical Romance. So I think it was, I discovered Historical Romance probably like a month and a half ago, thanks to this podcast. So I actually interview a few guests, a few authors who had historical romance. And so at the time, I did not read historical romance. So I'll be honest, I did not read them. I just agreed to have them on the podcast. It was like, oh, that sounds really fun. And I read their books. And there was one book that the author's coming late October. And it was historical romance. And the setting is, she's a rich woman. She's like 25, so Spencer age. And she decides to go to prison to look for a man who's going to get hanged so she can marry that man so she can become a widow. So that way she has freedom. And when she goes to prison, there's like no one's getting hanged. So she's like, okay, I'm going to settle with the next best thing. So she settles with this guy who's on the list of things that he's wrong with him. And they got married. And then, lo and behold, a few days later, he shows up. He's like, oh, I'm a spy. So we're married. I can't get divorced because it's a scandal. So it was a fun book to read that I discovered. Was like, well, maybe historical romance, maybe something fun for me to read next. So I went through the bench. So I read the Bridgerton series from Julie Quinn that Shonda Rhimes is doing a show. Which is coming on Netflix on Clara, and it's actually, the series is really good, so I can't wait to the series to come. So I went through that, I read 7 out of the 8 books, I haven't finished the books, and then I've just been going through the backlist of some of the guests that have been on the show, and listening to, and seeing what books they recommend. And so that's been kind of like picking up backlists, or picking up books that were recommended within this genre. So the next book that I read was The Wallflower Wager by Tessa Dare, which is, I would say it's a modern telling of historical romance. It's like, there's a modern take of it. The language is actually easier to read. There's theme, the romance is steamy. There's an adventure aspect of it. So it was actually fairly good. I really liked The Duchess Deal from that series best. But I enjoy The Wallflower Wager. The Duchess still has the best meet cute, where she's a seamstress and she wears a wedding dress. She goes to the Duke, who's like Beauty and the Beast retelling. he's like Edward Cruz, and she goes to her Duke and says, "You owe me money." She's wearing the wedding dress because I made this wedding dress, and you're not marrying the girl, so you need to. And then he's like, "No, well, why don't we just marry?" So it was like really cute. He's like, "Okay," and she's like, "All right." She's like, "It seems right to become a duchess," so she's like, "I guess I'm gonna do it." So that book actually was really good, and The Wallflower Wanderer, it's like it follows some of the friends. So it's fun, but it's not as good as The Duchess of Yale. So if you have to choose, I would say the first book in the series, and then the other books are good. So that's from Tessa Dare. And then I've been reading Lisa Kleypas, the Wallflower series. So there's four books in a series. I read three. I'm on book four now. So the Wallflower series is like there are four women who happen to be sitting in balls waiting for a husband, looking for a husband, and they just happen to be sitting around and just like not getting any traction of it. So they made a pact that's the Wallflowers, because they've been like not dancing and whatnot, that they're going to help each other find a husband. So each book is like helping one of them find a husband. So the first book, she ended up looking, she was poor. She didn't have a dowry. So that's why she was like, she was not able to find a husband. So she ended up settling for a professional man, not a man of courage, not a man of like, you know, a duke or a lord. She ended up marrying a professional man, a son of a butcher. And she was like, that's like going down in this, you know, you're looking down. Like he works. He's like, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to marry a man of leisure. So that was book one. Book two was actually a lord. He was like most eligible bachelor. And she's an American. And they hate each other. But there's like, of course, there's hate to lovers. So they fall in love. That book actually, on paper, I would love it. The reality, it didn't meet my expectations. So it took me the whole day to finish, which normally would take me like 4 hours, and it was like a whole day. And it was just like the chemistry was like not there. So I would say,
yeah, I was gonna ask what was the issue.
The chemistry wasn't there. Like there was just like it just felt like it was dragging. Like I was like, I'm just like reading and reading and reading, and I'm like, when is it gonna end? So that felt like it was dragging. So, and then book three, she has a stammer, and she's like, she wants to escape her family. She's going to inherit all this money. And she goes to the villain of book two and offers her to get married. And because he's a duke, no, he's a viscount. He's going to be a duke. And he doesn't have money. So he's like, I don't have money. And he's like looking for Horace to get married so they can have money. And they decide to get married. They go to Scotland to do it. Cause I guess, marriage law in England didn't allow them to do it right away. So they got married in Scotland. They come back and he finds himself like a job, which he didn't want to work, but he was like, oh, I guess I'm going to take over her father's business, who is a gambling, gaming place, I guess, where they gamble and they have prostitutes and all these different things. So it's a whole conflict around, like, he's like, you're not supposed to be there. And she's like, you know, yes, I am. I love you, blah, blah, blah. And so it was actually surprisingly really good. So, and I guess their daughter or son, one of them, is going to be in another series. So I'm looking forward to reading the other series to get to that and see them again to be like, oh, let's see what happened 20 years later. And then book four, she's been told her father's an American businessman and he has been in England. They've been in England for 3 years trying to get her married and the marriage mark, getting married for a peer, because New York society didn't approve her. Like they were like new rich, so they were not approval. So, and her father told her that since she hasn't gotten married, marriage proposal, she has to marry the guy who's going to inherit his business. And now she's like, I don't want to. But of course, you know, attraction ensues. And so now they're like, you know, liking each other, not liking each other. They want to get married. They don't want to get married, you know. So that should be fun. So So that's the wallflower. The wallflower is your response to clay best.
So I actually have, I haven't read it yet, but I have the Wallflowers Christmas book. I think it's book five. I didn't know it was book five in the series, but yeah, I think it is. So how is this, because it's not the same, it doesn't center around the same people every time. And you mentioned one of the books was connected by one villain in one book connected to the next book. Like, how are each of the books connected in some way? And if so, how are they?
Yeah, so they are connected. So the four Wallflowers, the four female main characters, are friends. And each book follows how they find a husband. So that's the whole point of the Wallflower series, is like they're like looking for a husband. They make their hat. So the four women are doing that. Let me see about Wallflower Christmas as they follow.
Oh, okay. So it is the same characters in each of the books.
Huh. Yeah, they're basically friends. So they show up into the group.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I haven't read the Christmas one yet.
Oh,
but.
And then the Wallflower, the Christmas book, it follows the brother of the two Americans. So it follows, people related to it. So they're all related to them. So they show up in the world. They're like, you know, so the first book, Annabelle and Simon show up. They fall in love. But then the other character, secondary characters. And then they go into the second book, which is one of the Americans. And then Annabelle shows up as like being a friend, supporting her. And then Simon is really best friends with the guy, the main characters, the hero from the second book. So they show up in different ways and different secondary characters.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, and you can read them as standalone, but it's kind of nice to know. If you read them in a serious order, you kind of like build on each other. You're like, oh, okay, I know this character, or I know this is the villain. You know, he's a villain in book two, but then he's like hero in book three. And you kind of like see his redemption period.
So are you going to read all of the Wallflowers into the Ravenels and on?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think that's the goal. So there's five Ravenel books, I think, after this. So I think I'm going to dive into that because it's like, you might as well. So the Ravenels take place, I think, 20 years later. So I think book five, I think it's a son or daughter. I think it's a daughter of the book three's main character. So they kind of like grow up. And so just kind of like
sisters.
Yeah. So we'll probably see the parents. We'll see them, you know, show up. It's the way it's portrayed is the Wallflowers meet the Ravenels. So there's a crossover within the world.
Yeah, so are you a big fan of series books? I'm finding that I like series. Like, once I like a book, I want to spend a lot of time in that world with
new stories. I love series. Like, I personally, that's like, I think that's something that I really hated about this show. Like, I read a lot of standalones, and there was something to be said that once I discovered series, I was like, I just want to dive into this world. Like, I love how authors like have spin-off series, how they fill the world, you know, all these relationships, all these couples, all these friendships, how they mesh together. And it feels like you just like you get used to writing style, you get used to one stuff, and you kind of like dive into deeper and layer. So I think this for the next few months, that's where I'm looking forward to, and that's what I love about historical romance right now, because there's all these series that I have discovered that I'm like, oh, I can discover. Like the Bridgerton series was delightful. That was like there were eight siblings, and they'll have to find their husband or a wife. So it was delightful just to dive into this whole family saga and be like, ooh, they found this person. And then you see two or three books and you see the story arc, you know, how it grows and gets better.
Right. Because you know what? Like, or if I can't read a series, I do get kind of trapped into certain authors that I like to read. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, when you read a really good book and you don't want it to end, Mm-hmm. It's like that terrible feeling. Like, what do I do now? What do I read now? What's going to fill this hole that is now here? And so I really get excited. So like Joanne Harris, she wrote Chocolat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that book is sort of a series. I think there's four now. Mm-hmm. And the most recent one until this year was, what was it? Something Peaches. Can't remember the name of it. But she just released a new one with very little fanfare, but it's called Strawberries and Something. This is terrible because I'm just talking off the cuff now. If I had planned to talk about it, I would have the exact titles. But anyway, I'm so excited. I bought it right away. But like, I need to go back to that world. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really like series. And if I can't have a series, then at least the voice of that author. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I did want to say on our book podcast, I am just a moment to honor and respect, you know, one of my favorite authors of all time passed away this summer. And I think it's so funny because I was telling in my day job, I train and, you know, it comes up like some of what your personal stuff is. And I said, oh, I think it's so exciting that we live in a time when one of the greatest authors in the world is still with us and writing. Mm-hmm. And then the next week she passed away. But, you know, just really sad that Toni Morrison moved on to whatever is next. But I'm so thankful that, you know, we have her book to read, that she continued to write, and, you know, the writing that she brought into this world. I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm such an avid reader and a person who aspires to be a writer. She is and was one of my inspirations. So I just feel like I couldn't be on the podcast without just calling out that I'm, you know, just thankful. Yeah. Her existence in the world.
Yeah, I love her work. Her work has made an impact. So far, what's on your TBR?
So, there's a lot. So, I'm a seasonal moody reader. Mm-hmm. So, I really am looking forward to it getting to be cold outside or chilly for the fall. Mm-hmm. And to start reading some books like that. So, I think I mentioned this before. Around this time every year, I like to watch the Harry Potter movies and start reading the books again. Mm-hmm. So I am starting over Harry Potter books right now. Mm. I am also looking forward to a lot of books for the Christmas holidays come out in October. So I'm looking forward to Royal Holiday. I think you already got a sneak peek of that book, or maybe I'm mistaken.
I read it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. and then I want to get, I think it's called A Vermont Christmas. It is by, I know you weren't a big fan of Christmas in Paris and Christmas in London. She does like a different, Anita Hughes, she does kind of a different locale for the summer and for the holidays. So this next one is in Vermont. So I've had that on my list for a while. I want to read Chelsea Girls. I got it from the library, but didn't get a chance to read it. So I had to return it by Fiona Davis. So that's on my list. I'm going to read, this year, I really want to read the book. It's from the Sleepy Hollow world. Katrina Van Tassel, the name is eluding me right now, but that book came out last year, and I didn't get to read it in the fall, but I definitely want to read that one this year. So there's a few books like that are sort of seasonally related, like Halloween / Christmas time that I'm looking forward to. But those are a couple of the books on my list. How about you?
So I think I'm reading historical. I actually made a commitment. I'm not taking any ARCs or any advanced reader's copies. So I'm probably going to be reading whatever's on my shelf or whatever is on the queue. So I'm actually like looking at backlist titles, looking at series, looking at things that are going to be fun. So that's pretty much what I'm looking for. I did read Royal Holiday. I liked it. I liked The Wedding Party better, but I liked the fact that it was an older crowd, that it was a 50-year-old main character. So that was actually fine. So that felt really cool. And there's a cameo from the Queen. So I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to reading it. I like her books, and I'm a sucker. If you're a series writer and you write something for the holidays, you totally got me. Like, it's in the bag.
Yeah.
I do want to read, this isn't a fiction book, I do want to read Is There Still Sex in the City? By Candace Bushnell. So did you read that already?
No, I have not read it already. I thought of reading it, and then I was like, I end up being like, oh, I'm just gonna pick something else. But yeah, it's actually on my list to read.
Yeah, I'd like to read. I have to be honest. I didn't enjoy. So I love the show Sex and the City.
Yep.
I did not enjoy the book Sex and the City. Really, I read the book after I was already a fan of the show, so maybe that had an impact. But the book felt a little empty to me. Like I just couldn't relate to the story she was writing in the book, but I'm curious to see about this next one. And I remember when I was watching Sex and the City, I was like, oh, it's so cool that they're like exploring what it's like to date and, you know, be active and vibrant and sexual in your 30s and 40s. And I was like, well, what about after that? Right. So I am excited that she wrote the book, and I think they released recently that they are making another series, and it'll be centered around women in their 50s and 60s.
Ooh.
Which I think is pretty interesting to see. I mean, I watched the show, and I do want to read the book.
Yeah, I'll watch the show and I'll read the book. I read her other books and I enjoy it, but I did not enjoy Sex and the City. That's something I do remember trying to read it and be like, I don't like this book for some reason. But I did enjoy the Cara Diaries. I enjoy her other fiction work. That was actually fun.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something that just didn't catch me in that first one, but I'm willing to try again for the second one.
So thank you, Clara, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I know it's been a while and my schedule has been horrible, so it was nice to talk books for a little while.
I love it. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with a new episode.
Thank you.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.